Well, well, well. The time has come, listeners, the time has come. For the first time in quite a while, I'm going on holiday. Certainly for the first time in the history of this podcast, which means I'm going to be taking a week off. And by that, I mean I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off because it's a 2 week holiday. And by that, I mean I'm going to be taking 3 weeks off because including this week where I've been packing and, just getting everything in order, is going to be 3 weeks off. And, in case when I come back, I have the flu or something, it might be a month off, right? So, yeah. What I thought was, I don't want to leave you high and dry, right? I don't want you to be like going home starving. I want you to like come to my house. You open the door. You see me cooking. You see me cooking some hot content, and I say, "Hey, hello, the listeners. Why don't you have a seat and have some content?" That's what I was thinking. And the only content I have available is two movie reviews that I did for my other channel, Press Reviews. And I thought, even though this is a politics podcast now, that I could give you a taste of what's happening on that channel, and maybe some of you would consider subscribing to that channel as well. So, yeah, hope you enjoy. Hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Presh Reviews, because my name is Presh, and this week I'll be reviewing M. Night Shyamalan's Trap with full spoilers. And I'm joined by a guest host, and his name is.
Dylan.
All right, glad for you to join us this week.
Thank you, sir.
So yeah, do you know of M. Night Shyamalan?
I haven't heard of him, no.
All right, well, his general reputation is that he's a bad filmmaker, but I totally disagree with that, right? And I just want to quickly go through his filmography to dispel this
Yes.
narrative, right?
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Let's go for it.
Okay, so his first two movies were Praying with Anger and Wide Awake. They're two like kind of student films, so I don't think we should take them seriously, right? Then he makes The Sixth Sense, which is like a. Have you? I don't know how to describe it, but it's a movie with a big twist, right? And it earned him the Academy Award for, sorry, just a nomination for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay, right? So a lot of people say, okay, The Sixth Sense, that's a masterpiece, but that's it. That's his only good movie. Everything else is rubbish. But okay, I think that's just the beginning of his amazing career, right? So his next movie is Unbreakable. Have you heard of Unbreakable?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so.
So it's a superhero movie from the year 2000. It was like asking what would like real life superheroes look like. And at the time it was far ahead of its time. So a lot of people actually say, you know what? Here's the like hidden truth. Unbreakable is actually his masterpiece, and The Sixth Sense is only his second best work. But I disagree. I think The Sixth Sense is way better. But you know that's keep that in mind, that he has made two bangers back to back. Then he makes the horror movie Signs. It stars Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson as two brothers who are in the midst of an alien invasion. It was parodied in Scary Movie 3, if you've seen that. Then he makes The Village, which okay, sorry, I should be mentioning that all of these movies have some kind of twist, and he becomes known as the twist director, right? So a lot of people dislike that, all these twists. So I don't wanna spoil his twist, so I'm gonna be kind of vague when I'm describing these things, as I've been so far, right? So The Village, that's his potentially not twistiest, but there's more than one twist. in the village.
Look, if I may, like the way I'm looking at your list that you showed me, you know, I can see the Avatar, I mean, The Last Airbender, that was like a weird, crazy, cartoony vibe, but I can understand his directing. After that, I see some things like After Earth, The Visit, Split. I'm like just looking at it. I see he's got like those cool titles to it, and the way that the discography is set up, you know, it's drawing me in. Even Old, I think I've seen Old. That's an interesting concept. So the twists are there. Knock at the Cabin with the Dave Bautista.
All right. Sorry, but like you skipped ahead. I was at The Village. The Village is also, it's not amazing, but it's like a 7 out of 10 movie. It's good, right? Then I can't defend Lady in the Water. Lady in the Water is not a bad movie, but it's a boring movie. And that's potentially even worse, right? There's really nothing I can say about that to be complimentary about it, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Then we have his most misunderstood film, which is The Happening. People often cite The Happening as one of the worst movies ever made.
My goodness, who said this though?
A lot of people.
Are you sure a lot of people said this?
Yes.
Damn, that sounds hectic, bro.
But I love The Happening. Right.
I wanna check out these movies.
I have it like as a 7 out of 10. It's not. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm saying he was going for something, and I think people misunderstood what he was doing. So he was trying to make a B movie. Do you know what a B movie is?
No.
So, like a long, long time ago, in the theaters, you could only show. There was like only one theater available. So they would show the A movie early on. And then the B movie, like, late at night, which, like, kids and stuff would go watch the A movie while, like, older people will go watch the... So, in the B movie, they could do more, like, adult things. Like, not just adult things, like, they could do more, like, sci-fi stuff and, like, scary stuff because they don't want kids to get scared, right? They'll, like, kids would watch, like, musicals and comedies and that kind of thing. So... M. Night was trying to make a B movie with The Happening, but people just tried to view it through the lens of an A movie, which, you know, it's not going to work if you're doing that, right? Anyway, then another one I just can't defend, right? And this is the bottom of his filmography, and that's The Last Airbender. Because, you know, the TV show is so beloved. People have it as like their favorite TV show.
I am one of those people.
And
most definitely.
The movie was like one of the biggest letdowns of all time. Right?
So sad.
So I can't defend The Last Airbender, fair enough. Take it.
No.
You know, we'll have to take that L. Right? But then, like, to kind of... See, he's had two, like, big flops in a row. The Happening and The Last Airbender, right? So, to kind of get his career back on track, he takes a kind of, like, a work for hire with Will Smith in the movie After Earth.
Yes.
So, Will Smith was trying to give his son, Jaden, a career, right? So, from what I hear, Will was the one that was kind of, like, directing the movie. M. Night was just the guy behind the camera, doing what Will wanted, right? So, After Earth is also a bad movie, but I think we should blame Will Smith, not M. Night. Right? Sure. I'm saying he escapes most of the blame for After Earth. So, we can't chalk that up to him. Sorry. Pass it on, right? But M. Night is in a horrific place now, right? Because he's had three stinkers, and two of them being called, what you know, worst movies ever made. Right? Both The Happening and Last Airbender had that label attached to them. Right?
What's happening to The Last Airbender?
But then, so, he says he needs to, like, be scared, you know? That'll make him a more, like, interesting filmmaker, is if he was scared, if he, like, had something to lose. So he put his house up as collateral, and that money he used to finance the film The Visit. And he made back, you know, a big profit from the... not a big profit, but a reasonable profit from The Visit.
For sure.
That, you know, got him into back into the...
In the game.
Back in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, like I said, he had a bunch of stinkers in a row. Some we can defend, some we can't.
Just gotta push it through, man.
Right? So The Visit is his return to form. Yeah. It's like an 8 out of 10 movie.
For sure.
And then he makes Split.
Oh.
Have you seen Split?
Yeah, I've seen Split.
All right. I'm gonna have to spoil a Split for you. Right? And sorry to the listeners if you haven't seen Split, but Split is a sequel to Unbreakable.
Okay.
The earlier, you know, the superhero movie.
Yeah.
So he kind of cashed in on the the superhero craze by making Split, right? And we'll come back to Split later. But I thought Split was an amazing movie. Another 8 out of 10. So he's got The Visit and Split back to back. 2 8 out of 10s. Then he makes Glass, which unfortunately I didn't care for. You know, it was kind of boring. Sorry, I'm a big fan of Knight, but it was like a 6 out of 10. It's better than average, but not good. Okay. Right? Then we get to Old.
Yes.
You've seen Old, right?
Yes.
Sometimes referred to as The Beach That Makes You Old. One of my favorite movies of that year. It is just such a fun, interesting movie.
For sure.
And I loved it. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
It's a... I would say... I'd give it an 8. It's an interesting concept. I like it.
Yes.
Very well done.
Well acted. Well shot. A lot of the things we'll be mentioning in this week's review. Right? Then he makes Knock at the Cabin. Which I thought was good, but a lot of people took issue with, because like at the end of the I'm going to have to spoil it, but at the end of the movie, two gay men sacrificed themselves, and that was taken the wrong way, as if he meant that gays were supposed to die. Right?
No.
But as a movie, I really enjoyed Knock at the Cabin. The controversy aside, right? And then we come to the subject of today's review. But as I've gone through it, he is a very contentious director because of those three in the middle that are such huge stinkers. They're happening Last of End and After Earth. And there's people who love him because of The Visit, Split, Old, Knock at the Cabin, and now Trap, that has got his career resurgent. Right? So it depends on where you fall. So he's a very controversial. What's the word where like some people love him but some people hate him?
You know, I'm just thinking he's a man, you know, he's trying to do his best. The fact that you told me he put up his house for Collateral Dog to start up his career, that was like, you know, it was good enough for it all. But I hear what you're saying.
Divisive.
You know, yeah.
He's a divisive filmmaker. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we've gotten through that. I hope I've dispelled this narrative that he's a bad filmmaker. Yes, he had a few bad movies in the middle, but on the whole, honestly...
Everything else is pretty good, you know.
He's quite terrific, right? Yeah. He's quite terrific. I'll say that, right? Honestly, the last three movies... Sorry, the last two, Knock at the Cabin and this one here, I went to the movies... I didn't even know the concept. I just went based on the fact that it's my guy, Knight. Right?
Okay.
Anyway.
I'll take it.
The next bit of context is that Josh Hartnett was a huge star in the 2000s. But he said that fame affected him, so he stepped away from acting for a while. And then he started taking smaller roles because, you know, he loves acting, but he doesn't like the fame. So he took smaller roles. And until he was in Oppenheimer last year,
which we
thought was like, it was so nice to see him again after such a long time away. And now, for the first time in a long time, he is the star of the his own movie, right? The lead role. And yes, I think it's nice to see him back. And, you know, another feather in the cap of Knight that he's the one that's bringing back Josh Hartnett, right? Anyway, the last bit of context is that this movie was not available at my local cinema in regular 2D. It was only available in the Cine Prestige area, which is far more expensive, but is an extremely luxurious experience.
Okay.
So this will double as a review of that cinema experience, as it was the first time I ever tried it.
For sure.
Right. First of all, the price.
Oh.
Right. A regular cinema ticket is 120 rand. An IMAX ticket is 200, and a Cine Prestige is 220.
Okay.
Right. So what do you get with Cine Prestige? The first thing is there's a waiting area with food and alcohol available. So not just popcorn, like there's these little paninis.
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
All types of snack foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel you.
And alcohol. But I really don't know why you would have alcohol before a movie, because alcohol makes me like want to move around. Right. But, you know, watching a movie, you sat still in one place. So I would never drink alcohol before a movie. There was one time, I don't know if you remember this, but we, the two of us and our two other friends, we went to see Interstellar. Well, we were supposed to go to a party, but we were having a pre-drinks, but then we decided against it and we went to watch the movie Interstellar. So I was not drunk, but I was kind of buzzed watching that movie, and it made me like very irritated, right? So I would never do that again.
For sure. So you had a bad experience with it.
No, with drinking.
Yeah, and going to the movies.
Yes, so yeah. I wouldn't drink and go to the movies.
For sure.
Anyway. Secondly, it was the freshest popcorn that I've ever eaten in my life.
That's
it's like,
word.
I'm sure they must have like popped it right then and there.
Hey, you know.
Right.
That's prestige money. That's what it gets you. Fresh popcorn.
Yeah. Thirdly, the seats recline.
Oh.
And only come in doubles.
Damn.
Right. So there's no space between the seats.
Mm.
In conclusion, it was lovely.
Hey.
And you felt taken care of. But it's not worth the price.
Well, what's the difference between prestige and IMAX?
I just told you.
Like
a regular ticket.
40 rand.
A regular ticket is 120, an IMAX is 200, a Cine Prestige is 220.
So for 20 rand more?
Yeah.
For 20 rand more, I could get a chair that reclines and things.
Yeah.
I mean,
IMAX is way better than Cine Prestige, because a Cine Prestige is just a regular 2D screen.
Yeah. What does IMAX do?
IMAX is amazing.
Oh, IMAX is
the big one.
And things.
No, that's 3D.
Oh, okay, sure.
Do you remember we went to watch?
You like a big screen. After you.
We went to watch.
I appreciate the comfort.
Godzilla vs. X Kong.
Yeah.
That was in IMAX. Right. Anyway.
I'm just saying, I prefer the comfort, luxurious experience of the cinema.
All right.
You know, versus just the size of the screen.
It's a more immersive experience.
It depends on what type of experience you're
looking
for.
Listen, for a little bit, I was playing with the seat while I was watching the movie.
Okay, nice.
So it's a little bit distracting, right? So maybe, you know, not everything that glitters is gold.
Look, bro, I'm just saying, if I'm going to a luxurious cinema, I'm gonna have a nice experience with it, you know, and that's good. And it's the best when they have warm foods and cold foods.
Listen,
but
I'm just
not
saying.
Really interested in
I'm
those.
Just saying it's not worth the price.
The freshest.
It's
the
not
popcorn?
Worth the price.
The popcorn? Come on, bro.
No.
No.
All I can right. have just regular popcorn. It's fine.
All right, bet.
Anyway.
And
can I get into my thoughts for the movie?
Tell me.
So, I thought Josh Hartnett was phenomenal in this movie. To the point that I think he's an early candidate for best actor for me. As the movie unfolds, he is somehow simultaneously cool, calm, and collected, while also being totally unhinged. He conveys so much with just his eyes, just top-tier eye acting, right?
For sure.
And is irresistibly charming and charismatic in this role. Despite her being a Nepo baby, I thought M. Night's daughter, Saleka, was good in her role as Lady Raven. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but Lady Raven was... She was okay.
She's the daughter of the director.
Oh, okay.
And he makes an appearance in this movie as her uncle. Mm. You know, the guy who takes them on stage.
Yes,
that's
yes.
the director.
Oh, nice.
M. Night. Mm. Right. That's another thing. He has a twist in all his movies, and he has a cameo in all his movies.
Mm.
So,
okay.
Very Alfred Hitchcock, if you're familiar with the great director. Right. So Saleka was good in her role as Lady Raven. She played a far bigger role than I thought she would, and she was able to handle herself against Hartnett without being totally overshadowed. The daughter, wife, and the FBI profiler were also serviceable. No one is bad in this movie. What did you think about the acting?
Why did nobody say anything about one particular guy, that black guy who just exposed everything,
I forget his name.
Like, how was his acting? Because he's the one who would have sold it for me from the beginning. When I was like, what's going on with this guy? He looks sketchy. And then when that guy told him all those things, like, exposed everything to him, the way he looked, I could see he was thinking about some killing him. But that is what makes it good, because, you know, like you said, just with his eye movements, he was able to convey that full thought, you know, in my mind that made me realize there's something fishy going on with this guy.
Anyway, the big thing that everyone is speaking about online is that the dialogue is weird and, quote, doesn't sound like how regular humans speak, end quote. Even people who are defending it start their sentence with, the dialogue might be weird, but, and then give their reasoning for why, you know, they don't mind it.
Mm.
But I'm going to be honest, I didn't realize that the dialogue was weird at all.
Mm.
First of all, one of the examples people have cited as this being bad dialogue is when M. Night says, hey, I'm her uncle, her mother's brother, which that's just how Indian people talk. Right? Particularly older Indian people. They assume you want to know the particulars of that relation. My granny does this all the time. She'll be like, oh, my sister's uncle. Okay, no.
Uncle's cousin.
Yeah.
Mm.
My dad's sister.
Mm.
Instead of saying her auntie.
Mm.
Stuff like that. Honestly, I find it weird, but... well... I guess that proves their point that it is weird. But I don't know. Okay, the second thing is, I come to a movie and I expect dialogue to be different than how people speak in real life, right? For example, in an Aaron Sorkin movie, you can expect people to have furious back and forth arguments and have a perfect joke or zinger every time. I just go into every movie assuming that the characters won't speak the same way as in real life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you find the speaking weird at all?
The way... No, not really, eh? No. I'm just thinking of the interactions. So, you know, when you're mentioning the speaking, the way that, like... They were doing the whole scene where he walked in with the FBI. And you just see, like, the whole group of them. And then he walked through all of them. You know, that was pretty ballsy. But nothing weird about the speaking, I could say. What do you think about them? Tell me how you feel about the movie. Also, you know, if you can include this bit, you know. Like... you know, how did the movie make you feel when you were watching it? Also, Just sorry to distract you. I was just thinking of it.
Well, tense, right? Tense, yeah. Speaking of which, I thought that this movie was a masterclass in tension building, mm-hmm. right? I totally believed that he could be caught at any point. And when he was caught, I was worried what he was liable to do to, you know, get out of being caught.
For sure.
So I was at the edge of my seat throughout the movie.
Mm.
So I'd say that this was a very effective thriller.
For sure. Right? I dig it.
The film is incredibly stylish and cinematic, right? I can't help but thinking about last week when I reviewed Deadpool and Wolverine, which looked like total dog shit, right?
Damn, you're still mad about it.
And this movie, where even small, simple things look so beautiful.
Mm.
It, again, reminds me a lot of a Hitchcock movie, particularly the movies Psycho and Rope, because Psycho is about, obviously, a man who's a psycho, which this movie is about. Well, he's a psycho because he had problems with his mother.
Mm.
And similarly, in this movie, he has problems with his mother. And in Rope, it's a very small, limited environment. And they were in a limited environment within that concert area, you know, and he wasn't able to get out. So, yeah, I think this was M. Night saying, hey, this is my Hitchcock movie, Trap.
Mm.
And, yeah, I loved it a lot.
Good trap, then. What? Good trap.
What? How did you feel about it?
Well, when I was first looked at the movie, I was like, Trap, that's a weird title. And then when I started watching it, I was like, okay, shit, you know, this movie seems pretty interesting. What's going on? Then I even paused it and I called my girlfriend and I was like, yo, do you want to watch too? It's nice, man. And she asked me about the movie and she said, and I said, it's a movie about this and this, and she's like, it sounds like a trap. And I was like, oh shit, I understand now why they call it Trap. So that was just the way I initially, you know, thought about the movie. And then while I'm watching it, like you said, I was so tense the entire time. I was like, oh shit, what's happening? This is going on, that's going on. But like, he's so calm and collected throughout the scenes and stuff, so everybody acted pretty well, I reckon.
Mm.
Mm. And, yeah, what else was I feeling? Oh, but, I don't know, what would you rate the movie?
Well, before that,
mm-hmm.
So everyone was waiting for the twist in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, every M. Night movie has a twist.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, yes.
There wasn't really a twist in this movie.
I mean, there was definitely a twist. The twist is this guy fucking fooled all those people at the end and found a way to escape, you know?
That's because, not a twist.
A twist
is when we find out information that paints previous things in a different light.
That paints everything in a different light, bro. No, this guy is evil. Even the way he looks,
everything about him is evil.
Broken and shit. Exactly.
That wasn't a twist.
That's just
a reveal.
Okay.
A twist is something that's unexpected. A reveal is, you know, this is just new information about the
So
character.
There was no twist?
Yeah, I don't think so. And going back to his filmography, it's been a few movies now. Old didn't have a twist. Mm. Knock at the Cabin didn't have a twist. Oh, fuck. I think am I spoiling?
Wow. You know, that's for you guys to find out.
Right. Mm. But his last couple of movies have not had twists. He's gone away from the twists. But that being said, at the end of the movie, you recall when he gets shot by the tasers.
Mm. Yo, dog! That shit was also crazy. Mm-hmm.
He was like, going back.
You.
And I thought, oh my god, what if this is a sequel to Split? Right? You remember, because Split is a sequel to Unbreakable.
Mm.
And Split was made about 10, it was 16 years after.
Mm.
We are 8 years after Split. And I thought that could have been a cool way, like, Trap is Split's brother.
Mm-mm.
And no. It wasn't the case. That's just the MCU. That's what's happened to my brain. When
you think everybody's involved.
I'm like, oh, who's a cameo here? What's, they fucked up my mind.
Mm.
But yeah, so what, any other closing thoughts?
That was in the last scenes. That was crazy. I would consider it kind of twistery, but it was a twist in the sense that I wasn't expecting this guy to just break free so easily. The way
Okay.
everything also happened for him, it happened so easily,
Maybe that's commentary.
That was just crazy. What kind of commentary would you say that says?
That's like he gets everything handed to him.
Yeah.
There's some people that are like that. They just get things handed to them.
Why was it that? Like, how come everything just happened so easily for that guy, man?
I don't know.
Was this based on a true story or something? Was
No.
this a real guy? No?
No. This comes
Oh,
from the twisted
thank
mind of
goodness.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Thank
Only he could do
goodness.
this. Nobody else.
For sure.
And I'm not saying that sarcastically, that nobody else could do this. Otherwise, they would have done it. But yeah, so what do you give it?
I'd give it a 7.
All right. I'm somewhere between an 8 and a 9 on it. Coming out of the theater, I was like, it's an 8. But as I keep thinking about it, it keeps like growing on me, and I'm like, I actually like this so much. Like, it genuinely brightened up my day watching it. Obviously not like a comedy brightens up your day. Like, it brightened up my day in the sense that it was such a well-made, well-told story. That yes, so. I'm giving it an 8 tentatively, but the more I think about it, the closer I get to a 9, and I might change my mind on that. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I want to give it more, but I feel like some things were missing. Like, I wanted to see more things happening, whether it be in his mind or whatever it was in person. Because, like I'm saying, when he walked in the room, he was able to walk past all of those people and not one of them noticed him. Like, that's completely insane. So, as a serial killer, what would you do in that instance? Nobody's even paying any attention to you.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. I actually find out that subscribing is how, is the main thing for the algorithm. So, maybe steal somebody's phone and subscribe with their phone and and keep on doing that as much as possible until you get taken to jail. And even then,
Get a cell phone.
rob the prison warden and steal their phone and subscribe as well.
Subscribe, rate,
Yeah.
review.
Anyway,
Thank
importantly, it
you.
needs to be a 5-star review.
Thank you.
Only 5. I don't accept anything else here. You might as well not review if you're not giving a 5-star review. All right. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member. And yeah, goodbye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.